Welcome back, everyone. This is Sam.
And this is Corrine, and we are two OncDocs.
This week's episode will be focusing on non-cutaneous malignancies
other than melanoma, including squamous cell skin cancer and basal cell carcinoma. We'll go over details on staging, diagnosis, and treatment. And we will be redoing our melanoma episode in the next few months with a very exciting guest, so stay tuned.
Basal cell carcinoma is the most common type of skin cancer, followed by cutaneous squamous cell cancer. And risk factors for cutaneous squamous cell cancer include UV exposure, older age, immunosuppressive treatments like prior organ transplant, exposure to radiation, chronic inflammation from burn scars, chronic ulcers.
There are some inherited disorders, which I'll try to pronounce, such as xeroderma pigmentosis, dystrophic epidermolysis bullosa, and epidermodysplasia verruciforme.
You nailed it.
So thankfully, for the vast majority of cases, local regional therapy is curative and medical oncology does not need to be involved. However, there are some cases where we do need to be involved.
Agreed. So again, these non-melanoma skin cancers are actually the most common cancers in the U.S. We just tend to, you know, exclude them when we talk about counts because, as you mentioned, thankfully, most are local regional therapy and they're curative. And so we don't really see or treat them in medical oncology. That being said, still testable on your boards and definitely still something you need to know if you're doing general medical oncology as well as consults. And so to start us off, what is the preliminary workup of a lesion that is suspicious for a non-melanoma skin cancer?
So a biopsy will be done, and the options include a shave, a punch, or an excisional biopsy, and then the dermatologist will complete a full skin exam. And then you'll do a regional lymph node exam if there is suspicion for nodal disease. And if palpable lymph nodes are found, an FNA should be done or surgical excision of the lymph node. And if there is a high risk of lymph node metastases, such as a tumor over 2 centimeters, if it's near major structures of the head and neck, like nerves, if there are in-transit metastases, if it's also invading deeper structures such as muscle, bone, cartilage, or if there are multiple high-risk features, which I'll cover in a minute, you also do a CT or MRI of the area where the suspicious skin lesion was found. And a sentinel lymph node biopsy does not have a clear role, although some institutions may choose to do this.
Great. And so when we're thinking about non-melanoma skin cancers, how are we staging them, or how are these groups of tumors staged?
So as medical oncologists, you don't need to know all the nuances of earlier staging for low-risk lesions, which are primarily managed by our dermatology colleagues. But think of localized higher risk as well as lymph node positive for metastatic lesions. So high-risk localized lesions are located on the head, neck, hands, feet, pre-tibial, and anogenital areas, or if they're equal or greater than 2 centimeters, are recurrent or have some histopathologic features like adenoid, adenosquamous, or metaplastic with perineal invasion, those are all higher risk lesions. And other higher risk lesions are anything stage 2 or greater. And stage 2, again, are T2 lesions, which are equal or greater than 2 centimeters. Stage 3 are if you have positive lymph nodes. So as in many other cancers, remember stage 3 is positive lymph nodes. In a single lymph node that's 3 centimeters or smaller. And then stage 4 is if you have any more lymph nodes than that. So if you have multiple lymph nodes or distant metastases, with the most common site of metastases being the lung, that is stage 4.
Good. So I think the staging, if you keep it simple, stage 2, T2, 2 centimeters. So there's 2, 2, and 2. Stage 3 is one single lymph node, 3 centimeters or smaller. So stage 3, 3 centimeter lymph node. And then again, this is different than most solid tumors. Stage 4 is actually when there's more lymph nodes involved, as well as the distant mets. So what is the treatment for high risk cutaneous squamous cell carcinoma?
So most surgery is preferred if there is extensive perineal involvement or multiple high-risk features, then you may also consider adjuvant radiation. And then if the margins are not clear, surgery may be considered, or you can consider PD-1 inhibitors or adjuvant radiation. And then if there are not surgical candidates to begin with, you consider PD-1 inhibitors. And all of these patients need clinical follow-up every 3 to 6 months, looking every 3 to 6 months looking at these lesions. And then for very high risk cutaneous skin cancers, you may consider neoadjuvant cemiplimab in some cases if the tumor has very rapid growth, in-transit metastases, lymphovascular invasion, or if it's borderline resectable, or if you don't think that surgery alone may be curative, then you may consider this neoadjuvant cemiplimab regimen in a case-by-case basis. And this obviously requires a multidisciplinary tumor board discussion.
Right. And so what are our treatment options for unresectable or metastatic disease?
So for unresectable locally advanced squamous cell skin cancer, consider radiation with or without chemo. And if you are going to do chemo radiation, usually the regimen is cisplatin with radiation. Or if you can't get cisplatin, then the regimen is carboplatin paclitaxel. And if you're going to do systemic therapy alone, let's say there's more distant disease, the options are immunotherapy. So you have cemiplimab, which isn't really seen in a lot of other cancer types. So remember cemiplimab in cutaneous squamous skin cancer. Or we also have pembrolizumab. Because a lot of patients with organ transplantation may be at higher risk for squamous cell skin cancer, there's a possibility that those patients cannot get immunotherapy. And so for those patients, you will consider carboplatin paclitaxel, or the EGFR inhibitor cetuximab can also be considered. And then those are the same options in the second line setting for patients that progress on immunotherapy. There are a couple other listed options, including cisplatin alone or with 5-FU, or you can also consider topical 5-FU, capecitabine, and methotrexate are all listed options. And I know, you know, when I was in fellowship, we saw a lot of these cutaneous squamous skin cancers in patients with organ transplantation that we didn't feel comfortable giving immunotherapy to. And so we were considering a lot of these chemo regimens as well as cetuximab.
Yeah, I think those are extremely important to note, and when it's not safe to give immunotherapy. And so let's segue from squamous cell carcinoma over to basal cell carcinomas of the skin. And so can we talk about those?
Absolutely. So thankfully, most of these can be cured with resection. However, there are some rare scenarios where a patient can have locally advanced unresectable disease or metastatic disease. And the primary treatment goal of basal cell carcinoma is the complete removal of the tumor and maximal preservation of function and cosmesis. I don't know. So surgical approaches often offer the most effective and efficient means for accomplishing a cure. But in some cases, if you cannot do surgery, you may consider radiation or topical therapy or systemic therapy as the primary treatment. And there are some patients at higher risk for multiple primary basal cell cancers. So there's something called Gorlin syndrome, where it's also known as basal cell nevus syndrome. And then xeroderma pigmentosum, as well as a history of radiation, also increases the risk of basal cell carcinoma. And so for some of those patients, you may even consider prophylactic measures.
And
similar to squamous cell cancer of the skin, higher risk basal cell carcinoma lesions are on the trunk or extremities, are more than 2 centimeters, or if they're on the head, neck, hands, feet, pretibial, and anogenital areas, if they're recurrent, if patients are on immunosuppression or have prior radiation or have perineural involvement.
Great. And so I think the most testable thing for metastatic basal cell carcinoma is the treatment options for these unresectable or locally advanced diseases, as well as the metastatic spots. So can you talk to us about that?
Yes, I definitely think if they're going to ask you anything about basal cell carcinoma on the medical oncology boards, it will be about hedgehog inhibitors. Yep. So commit these to memory. So vismodegib is given 150 milligrams oral daily for both locally advanced and metastatic basal cell carcinoma. And another option for locally advanced only is sonidegib, which is 200 milligrams oral once a day. And these are both hedgehog inhibitors. And for patients who are unable to tolerate the toxicities of continuous dosing of vismodegib, you can offer an intermittent dosing schedule. Really important to know that you should get a CK and creatinine level at baseline. And the toxicities can include GI toxicities, myalgias or muscle spasms, taste changes, and fatigue. And then in the second line setting for basal cell carcinoma, you can consider cemiplimab. And in the third line, generally, it's chemo options like carboplatin. So I've had patients in fellowship with disfiguring basal cell carcinomas that were on these hedgehog inhibitors. And it's important to know, you know, to check the CK and creatinine.
Agreed. And so this was an awesome episode. You know, I think you guys could get one or two questions on your boards of non-melanoma skin cancers. And so what are our key takeaways?
So as I mentioned, as medical oncologists, we don't really need to know the nuances of earlier staging for low-risk squamous cell skin cancer, but think of localized higher-risk disease. So if you have positive lymph nodes or metastatic disease, and know some of the risk factors, including if they have histologic features like adenoid, adenosquamous, or metaplastic features. If it's localized, you're going to do a Mohs surgery. And if there's multiple high-risk features, you may consider adjuvant radiation. If the margins are not clear, you may consider additional surgery or PD-1 inhibitors or adjuvant radiation. If it's unresectable, locally advanced, often chemo radiation will be considered, with the chemo options being cisplatin or carboplatin. And then if it's unresectable, you're going to do immunotherapy with cemiplimab and pembrolizumab. But if you can't get immunotherapy for whatever reason, the options are cetuximab or chemo. And then if you get basal cell carcinoma, think of the hedgehog inhibitors, so vismodegib and sonidegib. And remember to check those CK and creatinine levels.
Great. And so thank you so much for covering this topic. And as always, thank you guys for listening and good luck with studying for your boards. Please feel free to reach out to us with corrections or comments on our Twitter or on our Instagram, @oncdocs. Have a great week.